Text for our sermon this morning, our Old Testament reading from Exodus 17, especially these words. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, and the people will drink. So far our text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. They didn't trust God. They were there in the wilderness of sin, walking and walking, following wherever God led with a pillar of fire and cloud. Yes, they'd been in Egypt. Yes, they'd been slaves in that miserable condition. God had got them out with his outstretched arm, the plagues on the Egyptian deities, culminating with that last plague, the death of the firstborn. Who could doubt that God was in control? Who could doubt that it was God who chose his people and God himself who saved them? Who could doubt that as they walked through the Red Sea on dry ground, and as the sea came crushing back on the Egyptians? Who could doubt the providence and mercy of God even there in the wilderness where there was no water? Who could doubt it? Well, every one of the Israelites could, and they did. They doubted that God was with them. They couldn't see God. All they could see was the lack of water. But God was there the whole time, wasn't he? Standing there at that rock, waiting to give them water. They didn't trust God to provide for them. They didn't think that God had thought it all the way out. Maybe he had thought through the plagues and the Red Sea, but God had no plan now as they were walking in the wilderness. They did not trust God. We are reminded to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And if we do, we will obey all of God's commandments. Simply trusting in God, allowing God to be God, would make us follow all of the commandments and never sin. If we trust God that completely, that entirely, that totally, we would honor his commandments. The Israelites didn't. They couldn't, wouldn't trust in God above all things. One small crisis was enough to rear sin's ugly head once again. It's interesting, isn't it, that this Exodus 17 reading is paired with John 4, the woman at the well? It's interesting. It's almost the exact opposite. This woman was a Samaritan, not a Jew. She shouldn't be trusting in the promises like the Jews were supposed to. She hadn't been there to see God's deliverance and mighty acts in Egypt. She had read the book of Exodus, no doubt, but she hadn't been there. She hadn't seen that. The Samaritans worshipped in a completely different place than the Jews, not at the temple, not that God. And yet Jesus goes to her, a Samaritan. And it's an odd time of day, isn't it? It's noon, and she's going out to draw water. Well, that's not when people went to draw water. You go first thing in the morning. Everybody goes first thing in the morning. Except for this lady. What's she hiding? Maybe she doesn't want to see the stares of others because she's had five husbands and the guy she's with isn't her husband. Regardless, she's there at noon and nobody else is except Jesus. Funny how that happened. And we get that small conversation between Jesus and that woman about, give me some water. And if you would know who it is who asks you for water, you'd ask him, and he'd give you water. But how will you get to the water at the bottom of the well, Jesus? The well's deep, 100 feet down, and you've got no rope or bucket or anything. It's not the water Jesus is talking about. It's wonderful the way it works out, isn't it? This woman who shouldn't believe, believes. She comes to faith in this dialogue. She believes that Jesus is the Messiah, the one who is foretold in the Jewish Old Testament. And after this text, this woman goes back into the village and tells everybody in the village, "Come out! I found this guy who is a prophet, who is the Messiah. Come out and hear him." And the people do. They drop what they were doing. They listen to the woman. And they come out to see and to hear Jesus. They trust him. He talks about this living water that wells up to everlasting life. These Samaritans, they believe Jesus. It's amazing, isn't it? It's almost the opposite of that Exodus reading, where we've got those Israelites who do not trust, who do not believe, who look for any excuse to doubt. And we've got this Samaritan woman and those in her town who trust and believe that this Jesus is the Christ who will somehow provide for them this living water that they would never thirst ever again. It's amazing, isn't it? The faith that that Samaritan woman had. Faith that just simply trusts in Jesus. That's where these readings leave us, asking that question, what about us? What about us? Are we like those Israelites who have seen the mighty works of God in our lives? All of the things that God has done for us and around us? Yet we're still always looking for reasons to doubt. If one thing doesn't go our way, walk away. Brush the dust off our feet and leave God entirely. Is that us? Or are we like that Samaritan woman for whom things were not going her way, it seemed, and yet in the end all she did was cling to Jesus and trust him for that living water? Did she fully understand what that living water was? Did she fully understand exactly what Jesus would do? Probably not. But she trusted nonetheless. Isn't that the way it is with us also? We are called to trust God, fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And we know at times we don't. For we sin frequently. Each sin is a reminder that we do not trust God as we ought to. And yet by his grace and mercy, God comes to us, giving us that living water that wells up in us to everlasting life. What is that living water? Well, you know, it's baptism. Water washing over us, cleansing us of all our sins. Not a one-time thing, but it's an ongoing reality in which we live. We live in our baptismal grace, saying that we are, present tense, baptized. We are forgiven by the death that Jesus died. We are washed clean in his blood. Jesus is walking with us. That we would not doubt, but trust. That we would trust even amid our suffering, as Paul talks about. Suffering does not put us to shame, but it produces endurance in us, that we would learn to rely more and more and more on Jesus, that as suffering comes, we go back to his word and prayer, for therein we find Jesus for us. That's exactly what the Samaritan woman did. She went back to Jesus, inviting her whole town to come to Jesus and hear him and listen to him and see him. It's exactly what the Israelites didn't do. They didn't go back to Jesus. No. They grumbled in the way and shook the dust off their feet and wanted to leave God. Amid suffering, we know where we go. Back to Jesus. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, giving his life for us. He gives us that water welling up to everlasting life. It's yours. It's your baptismal grace. You live in that. You rely on that, for it connects you to Jesus, that you would trust in him, in his name. Amen.